Today's scripture reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God bless the reading of his word.
Merry Christmas. Or as Pastor Ian said earlier, Merry Pre-Christmas. Thank you. At Christmas time, we often hear the story of what the angels said to and proclaimed to the shepherds that were living nearby the town of Bethlehem, and they were out in their fields watching their sheep. And the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Are you here today where you would describe your heart lacking peace? Have you come and you feel just in turmoil in some reason, in some way, or distressed about some issue or concern? Do you lack peace? Are you looking for peace? Well, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, definitely can provide peace. But peace is something that the world obviously struggles to experience. Wars, genocide, unemployment, economic crisis, human trafficking, child prostitution, are just some of the issues that our world faces. And all these things cause for a lack of peace. Peace is what most people long for, but very few people find. True and lasting peace. And peace is part of the message of the Christmas season. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And Jesus came to be a bringer of peace, God's peace, because of the message of love that God has given to the world and forgiveness for sin. The American Heritage Dictionary says that peace is simply a state of tranquility. A state of tranquility. To hold one's peace means to be silent, right? I heard in New York City that there's actually a law against your car alarm to go off. You could receive a heavy fine if your car alarm just goes off and on and on and on, and somebody complains. Of course, if someone tries to break into your car, hopefully you don't get a fine on top of that for your car alarm going off. But to keep peace is to try to maintain order, to observe the law. Order and law are important parts of peace to be successful in being a part of reality. World peace is something that everyone seems to want, but very few people seem to know how to achieve it. We've had so many people in my lifetime try, and through the history of mankind, but really to no success. Though our Lord Christ is being successful, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The United States, for example, has the Peace Corps. Has anybody here served in the Peace Corps, by the way? This organization is a government federal organization that was created by John F. Kennedy in 1961, our president, and it's simply to promote world peace and friendship. That was its main mission. And what it does is it gathers American volunteers and trains them and sends them out to developing countries in the world to work on these projects that are either technological or agricultural or educational, and trying to, in a sense, spread peace in the world by bringing a little bit of maybe more order to different parts of the world. And obviously then there's benefit in building friendships and Americans getting to know other cultures and countries and them getting to know some Americans. So there's this goal of the Peace Corps to actually bring peace to the world and build friendship. And in the same way, we call our police officers what? Peace officers, because they are trying to maintain in the community. You don't call them peace officers? Well, I've heard that before. Maybe they have other names they go by. Yeah, I know. They have a lot of names they go by. But peace officers is one of them. They're trying to maintain in our communities a level of order and law to promote that and enforce that at many times. Order and law are very important for peace. For example, for you and I to have peace in our lives, we really need to feel like we're secure, like things could go wrong, but it's going to be okay. Nothing can happen that's really going to throw me. If we feel like we're not secure in our life, then we don't have that peace. For example, let's take a look at this this commercial here. Just go ahead and throw on the first slide. And just watch this commercial for a second. Let me turn it up a little bit.
Protecting your purchases. That's using your credit card wisely.
So you see here, we seek security often because what we buy and purchase, right, may have some malfunction or be, our credit cards get stolen, our identity. We want to buy insurance, and somehow often our credit cards say, hey, you can get your credit insurance. We have all kinds of insurances in our country, right? Health insurance, car insurance, home insurance, fire insurance, flood insurance. There's even terrorist insurance you can pick up if you're traveling around the world. There's all kinds. Earthquake insurance. Insurance gives us a kind of guarantee that provides this secure feeling that no matter what tragedy happens, it's going to minimize the effect because we have insurance so that we're not like taken out completely. And so that kind of gives us a sense of security that we hope to gain because we won't be crushed under the tragedy. And so we purchase insurance to give us this sense of peace. And this may be good to practice in our physical property, but what about our spiritual lives? What kind of insurance can be provided for us spiritually? Have we even thought about that? Our spiritual insurance. What protection is available to us that we can trust? Peace comes, again, when we can say that no matter what happens, we're going to be okay. No matter what comes up in our lives, we're going to be all right. And that is a sense of peace and security. 700 years before the birth of Christ, Jesus, where we celebrate Christmas, the prophet Isaiah wrote these verses in our text today, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, pointing to the birth of Christ, this child Savior, this Messiah, this Prince of Peace, as he's called there. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is, does anybody know? Shalom. That's right. Shalom. And this shalom signifies a sense of like completion, perfection, wholeness. The shalom means well-being and prosperity more in addition to just the term peace. It's used when you greet people, shalom. Or maybe when you're saying goodbye, you say shalom. Is this like peace be with you? Prosperity, well-being, completeness, wholeness, this desire and this hope that the Jewish people have in their belief in the Lord God. And to have shalom is not just meaning to have a quiet life, but to have a fulfilled life in every way. So shalom is a word and concept that Jesus was using when he was speaking to people in his ministry, in his life, in his teaching, when he was saying, I will bring you peace. I will give you peace. And listen to his words in John chapter 14, verse 27. The words of Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I love that verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That speaks to me so often when I get troubled. Like this morning, I determined I was going to come to church early because, you know, the roads might be bad or whatever. So I got all ready, dressed and everything, and I was rushing to get in because we had to switch the cars around or something like that. So I get on my coat, and I'm walking out the door, and I'm in a hurry, and all of a sudden, what I didn't see was that my stairs are just totally ice-covered. It was kind of, and it was raining, so it just looked wet, right? So I took one step, and the second step, I was in the air, and I went down on my backside. But the problem was, I didn't get hurt, thankfully, just a little, you know, banged up. But what happened? It was pouring out rain, and it was puddles everywhere. So I got soaked through, all the way through. And so I had to rush back in the house, and my sense of peace and security was now being eroded because I had this plan. I was going to leave early, I was going to get to church early, and now I had to get changed and, you know, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I sensed a lack of peace. Our text in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, refers to this Savior child. And these designations here in that verse are amazing. If you think about it, to us a child is born. So a human child is born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. To put those two together, a child is born, and he will be called Mighty God. Right there, the incarnation is being alluded to. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And today we're going to be focusing on Prince of Peace, Jesus as the Peace Giver, the Peace Provider. And this whole idea of being Prince of Peace, this like this position of power, right? Being a prince, royal, is this idea of Jesus establishing peace on earth and in many ways. And this doesn't mean just like establishing the potential for peace to happen, but this is meaning bringing about peace in a real way, in reality, in the here and now. Jesus brings peace to our life as the Prince of Peace. And the Scriptures reveal that Jesus does this in at least three ways. And in the first way that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, establishes peace is by bringing peace between God and man, God and people. So Jesus, we see this in the message of the Gospel, that Jesus reconciled the world, meaning the people on earth, to God, the perfect and almighty God, you know, just, where we are not just. We are sinful and rebellious against our Lord God. And we may be here today believing that we may be able to work our way to live a good life, to serve hard at the church, and that in itself will allow for God to allow us to enter into His glory in the end, after we die. But the Scriptures do not support that idea at all. The Scriptures say instead that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says there, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All people have sinned. This means all of us, no matter how much good we do, how much good I think I have done, that I'm going to fall short of being eternally in God's presence and basking in that glory with the Lord God in His presence forever. Nobody's good enough. And even the prophet Isaiah, which we read earlier, later on in his book, Isaiah, in chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean." And notice there, he's saying all of us. The prophet Isaiah himself is including himself in this. "And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, and we all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." This is not to be an excuse in a sense that, well, everybody sins, so, you know, I sin. Everybody sins. It's okay. And no, God holds us responsible each for our own individual ways we rebel against Him and His righteousness. Whatever we've done wrong, that mars us and stains us forever. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So God has a penalty for our sin, death. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so this is the gospel. God offers people the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus being born in a manger, the act of love that God did. Not only His birth, but His life, His teaching, His service, His model, and then His death on the cross. And then His resurrection from the dead. To show that He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God, risen from the dead. He died on our place to pay the penalty of this death that is the wages for our sin. And so, if we place our faith in Him, His peace will enter our hearts through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we believe in Him, we have the peace of God that actually dwells and starts to establish that peace within our own hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the key, is when we place our trust in Him. Then we are secure in Christ Jesus. Last year, maybe you heard of Timothy Elliott, this guy, this ex-convict who won the Massachusetts lottery. I don't know if you heard about that guy. It's about exactly a year ago today, last December. He was playing. He had got out of jail, prison, and he was on probation for about 5 years. He could not participate in anything to do with gambling. It had something to do with his crimes. And so, but he decided to break his probation and play the lottery, which is considered gambling. So, and then he won, of all things. And he won over $1 million. So it made the news. This ex-convict won the Massachusetts lottery, and the argument was he should not receive his winnings because he broke his probation and he's an ex-convict, you know, or he's a convict. So he shouldn't get it. And so that went to court and everything like that. Well, similarly, God gives us this gift for us in the world. Like, we didn't win it, right? We didn't gamble for it. God offers it to us. But yet, because of our convict-like life, our sins prior, we are not eligible to receive it. Unless we place our faith and trust in Christ. And then everything is clean. Christ takes away the sin in our life. He cleanses that stain of our previous convictions and wipes them clean. And so we are able to then accept and offer the offer of God to live eternally with Him. No matter how bad we've been, this applies to us through Jesus Christ. So this is the way that Christ Jesus establishes, in a real way, peace between God and people on earth when we place our trust in Him. Secondly, Jesus establishes peace, being the Prince of Peace, in a person's heart. And this is very important and very personal for us who believe or seek to find peace in our hearts and our lives. Like I mentioned earlier, do you find right now, if you had to describe your heart, is it troubled? Or is there something distressing you? Would you say that you're worried about something? Whether it be finals or your job security at this time, being laid off. Are you discouraged by something that's happened in your life? The way you failed or messed up? Are you depressed by something in your life? Fearful? Anxious? All these emotions that play into and steal away our peace of heart then cause us distress. The peace that Jesus offers when we place our trust in Him is that He will establish peace somehow in my heart, in my mind. He will bring about this real peace here and now and alleviate those other things if I place my full trust in Him. He establishes peace in our hearts. And then, it doesn't mean that Jesus takes away our troubles in life. He's not going to make our lives all happy and everything. But even if I lose my job, which I hope I don't, but even if I lose it, then God is going to give me that peace amidst the turmoil in life. And whatever, if I get sick or if something happens to me, like if I fell down today and I broke my back, that'd be horrible. But then that peace would still be there amidst that hardship. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Again, trust in God. Trust also in me. And in my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We experience a peace of heart when we have a home to go to, a safe place. Think about it. If you've been working hard and studying for finals and you're in college and you're away from home most of the time, at this time, especially the holiday season, it's very comforting and peaceful to think, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home. I'm looking forward to that. And that provides a sense of peace. That there's a place that's warm and friendly and secure and safe for us to go to. Whether it's been a hard week at work or even a hard day at school or at work, we look forward to that 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, right? Because we got a nice place to go to. And that in itself helps us persevere through the difficulty and the turmoil. We go on a long business trip. It's always nice to come home, to be back home. Or on a long vacation. It's always nice, except for the bad weather, right? Yeah. To come home to this safe place. And likewise, we can have peace of heart when we believe in Christ because He has prepared a place for us. Now, what does this place look like? He says in my Father's house, many rooms. Maybe it's like one of these mansions here. It'd be nice if we had a room like that. Or, of course, from this point of view, from our worldly point of view, or a nice pool there, a nice peaceful environment. It looks like it might be in California with the palm trees, right? You know, or down south in Florida. But we don't really know what it will look like in our Father's preparation that He's done. Jesus is going to prepare a room for us. But we do know that He has prepared it for us. And this gives us, who trust in Jesus, a peace because there's a place for us in eternity. We have a place to put our trust in that after I die, when there's the resurrection of the dead, Christ will establish His kingdom. And I will be a part of that because I trust and worship the Lord Christ Jesus. This is speaking to, and the Bible teaches about this coming age. Jesus talks about it, and the New Testament writers talk about it. This age to come. And this is what we're looking forward to. And I just want to go through this little bit of this tension in the Scriptures right now. This is to help us understand. Go ahead and throw the next slide off. The coming of the kingdom of God in two stages, and we've seen this. First is the old age that comes. The first is the old age where there's sin, and you see it after Adam and Eve sinned. This sin has infested the world and creation and rules everything. Everything is depraved. We cannot help but be sinful. So the world has been that way. And then Jesus Christ comes on the scene. This is Christmas, what we celebrate, His first coming. He comes on the scene and He starts to say His message is the kingdom of God is here, right now. And He is ushering in the kingdom with His message of love that God has for Him, forgiveness. And then He dies on the cross. And the forgiveness of sins is offered to all who believe in Him. And so now we have the power of God in our lives and we can start to live and we don't have to sin. We can live righteously in Christ Jesus. And so the kingdom of God is now invaded reality. But yet the old age is still going. So go ahead to the next. So we have this tension. We have the age to come begins. The kingdom of God is now here, now, in power through the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts, giving us the ability to be righteous, to live for Christ as His followers. But yet the old age continues, right? The world is still full of sin. There's still horrible things that happen, tragedies, hurricanes, the world is marred. It's not perfect any longer because of sin. And so there's these tensions. The kingdom of God is spreading, but the old age continues. So we look forward then to when Christ comes back again, the second coming of Christ. And that is when Christ Jesus, Lord of all, will rid the world of sin once and for all through His judgment. Not only of people who's ever lived, but also the world itself. It says, in Peter, in 1 Peter, that the world will be recreated, basically. The old things, the old order of things will be gone. Taken, done away with. And then there's going to be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, where the kingdom of God will be established. And then the old age is no more, and the new age, the age to come, will go on forever. And those who have worshipped Christ Jesus will live with Him for eternity. In the new heaven and new earth. Those of us who have not worshipped Christ, who have chosen to reject Him, to do our own thing, we will not be a part of that plan. We will live in another reality, outside the peace of God, which we know as hell. There will be a lack of peace. There is going to be a torment of the soul, it seems, there, because there will be no peace, because God will not be there providing that peace. And so there is the peace of heart that Jesus gives because He's prepared a place for us in the age to come. Just like going home for the holidays. We look forward to that. This is, as Christians, we can look forward to the age to come and have peace in our lives for that. So will we need health insurance then? Will we need to worry about our treadmills, you know, working? No, we won't, because Jesus Himself will be our security. And I look forward to that day. I wonder, what will I be doing for work in that age to come? How long are we doing? Whatever we do, we are perfectly designed and preparing ourselves to do that work now. Because God is always looking forward and preparing for the future. So your life now is in preparation for then, even. So think about that. That gives you great security, if we can just remember that and praise God for it. A home waiting for us to greet us warmly, though, depends on the relationships at that home being secure. So some of you may be here saying, you know, Pastor Jeff, that illustration doesn't really work for me because I'd rather be at school than at home. Or I'd rather be at work than at home. Or going home is not a place of peace and safety for me. I don't feel very secure there for one issue or another. Maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe there's tension going on in the home. But for us to have peace in the sense of God, looking forward to the age to come, we need to have that security in our relationship with the Lord God. And our Heavenly Father in the Scriptures welcomes us. He always is welcoming us. The story of the prodigal son, the parable. The Father is waiting for this wayward son to return home. And then the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church that to invite us to always just pray to the Lord God. Ask Him about anything. Share your concerns, your worries, your doubts, whatever it may be. Just pray to the Lord God. He wants to listen to you. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, saying, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If we can fully just trust in the Lord God and pray to Him and just say, "God, you know, I don't even know if you exist. I'm not convinced, but I want to believe. Or this is a real concern with me, my relationship with my Father. We just don't seem to get along." Or you just bring it to the Lord, and He wants to listen to us and answer our prayers. We know our relationship with our Heavenly Father is secure through faith in Jesus, because He gives us the peace and the truth in the Scriptures that it is, once we place our trust in Him. I remember a time in my own life when I was in middle school. It's very vivid to me. My parents had this all-out fight in front of us kids. Argument, yelling, you know. I don't know, maybe some threats. I don't know. I don't remember. It's just kind of this blur. But I remember that my father, after that fight, well, I have to kind of qualify this. My parents didn't fight in front of us kids at all. Usually they must have taken it into their, you know, another room, or did it when we were at home or whatever, gone for a drive and battled in the car. I don't know. But I don't remember them ever really fighting. Sure, they had a little disagreement and then they, you know, one would give in. But I never remembered anything except for this time. They went at it in front of us kids, or at least in front of me. And my dad stormed out of the house and slammed the door, and the house shook, you know. And my mom then went into her room and stayed in there forever. And I remember that I was thinking, are my parents going to get divorced? Because I'd never seen them like this before. And it just totally stole away my peace of heart. Because I even felt like, is my relationship with my father and mother secure even right now? Because it seemed like everything was falling apart. That's how I felt. And thankfully, my parents worked it out, made up. So I wasn't part of that process, but they they got together and everything was fine after that. But I mean, after just that one instance, it totally ripped out the carpet from underneath my feet at that time of my security in the relationships at home. I was not secure for that moment. And that's essential for us to be secure in our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Otherwise, we will lack the peace of God. We've got to stand firm that through faith in Christ, we can trust that we are made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus establishes peace between God and people, and then also in the hearts through this work that He does in a very real way. And then lastly, He establishes peace on earth. And we saw that in that diagram, that there is a time when He will physically establish peace on earth. And our text talks about this in Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The justice and righteousness, the order and law coming together, which is essential for peace. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that key phrase at the end, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is not produced by any human governmental plan of action. No, it's the Lord God Almighty's power to bring about this once and for all. And so no matter how much hope we have that things will change and get better on earth through some political leader or change in leadership, as we as this country is hoping for, right? Some change to happen, we'll always be disappointed because it's just human effort. But God's power is the only way to do this successfully. Presently, the kingdom of God is spread one heart at a time. The peace of God enters our hearts. We share the love of Christ with someone else. They hopefully will come and believe in Christ Jesus, and then the peace of God enters their heart. And the kingdom of God spreads one heart to one heart to one heart. And so there's this ever-increasing, as it says here, the government and peace will always increase. Of the increase will be no end, right? So all those who believe in Christ are added to this governmental system, it seems. And yet, there will be a time when there's actual peace on earth established, where there will be a new order coming. And Isaiah, I find it very interesting, envisions this, and he writes it down. And he gives us like a glimpse of what it might be like in his book, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 9 through 9. Listen to the description here. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will provide peace on earth in a real way, once and for all. If we've placed our trust in Him, we will participate in that. If we have not, then we will be living in a reality outside of what Christ will establish on earth. And we know that place as hell. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He preserves peace. He commands peace. He creates peace in His kingdom. And He wants His peace to rule in our hearts as well as to be evident in our lives when we place our trust in Him and follow His ways that He has modeled Himself when He lived on earth in peace, as an example. There's a painting that pictures perfect peace that I came across in preparation. And I want you to just to close your eyes and let me try to... I couldn't find a picture of this painting, so I'm going to have to describe it to you. All right? So let me describe it. Okay? There's a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky cliff. And you can almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. And then there's stormy gray clouds threatening to explode with lightning and wind and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clings to the edge of the rocks, coming out of the cliff and kind of reaching out its one branch toward the powerful waterfall, almost in a sense challenging or wanting to experience its full power of the waterfall. It's not quite touching it, but it's almost. It's one branch. And then in that one branch, there's a bird that has made a nest in the elbow of the branch, a mother bird. And she's sitting on her eggs, her eyes closed, and her wings kind of nestled over the egg. And she's just ready to protect her little ones, and she manifests this peace that transcends all this earthly turmoil that's around her, the powerful cascading waterfall. Perfect peace in the midst of surrounding turmoil. This is what Christ, is an image of what Christ offers us. It's not that our lives will be like hunky-dory, hunky, I don't even know that word. It's not like our life is going to be A-OK all the time, right? Whose life here is OK all the time? It's not. But Christ says, I will give you peace. And a peace that transcends all understanding, and a peace that grips your heart once and for all. Is your heart at peace? Can you say your heart is truly at peace? Especially at this time of year. It'd be horrible if it is not. Will you trust the Lord Christ today to give you that peace and that hope and that purpose for life, for now and forever? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He wants us to throw our concerns on Him. He wants us to come to Him, confess our sins, and say, you know, I just really screwed up, and I need your forgiveness. And He will, because He's paid the penalty on the cross. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. All wrapped up in one. And Jesus, who was born in a manger years and years ago, came with a purpose, and that is to save you and me. To be the messenger of peace and hope for the world. And the question is, will you place your trust in Him today? Will you recommit to following Him again and again? Every day as we wake up, I trust you, Lord Jesus, and I will follow you this day. And if you've never followed Christ, now is the day to place your heart and trust in Him and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And then it's just like Philippians said, go and just pray your concerns to Him. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and just say, enter my life and be my Lord. I don't quite understand everything about that, but I know that you're calling me to do this because you are real and true and the everlasting God. If you'd like to do that today, right now, I encourage you that in our song of response during Holy Communion, which we'll have after that, just where you are, just pray to the Lord. Or if you'd like, I encourage you, go to the prayer corner and sit down, and my wife or Pastor Ian will pray with you as you receive the Lord God into your life and make Him your Lord and God forever. Let's pray together now. Father, we recommit ourselves to you as the Prince of Peace. We know that your birth, the birth of your Son, Jesus, was part of your plan of salvation, a way of reconciling your creation to yourself. For we, being rebellious in our sin, wanting to go our own way, continually sin against you. And yet, because of your love for your creation, your love for each one of us, you took on the penalty. You sent your Son and had Him live a difficult life and die a difficult death so that you can show and leave your message and hope to the world that we can come to you and you will take us back with welcome arms. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. And we pray for those who are here in our midst that do not believe in you, that they will make the decision, that they will sense the reality of your Spirit's calling them and make that decision today and make that effort to pray to you in Jesus' name.